It's Sunday morning, October 2nd.
I believe it is.
Well, once a month I get the right thing.
Lord, we ask for your blessing, your presence here today. Oh, that there would be a flow of your spirit, a flow of your truth, and that we would have ears for that truth. Give us ears. It doesn't come naturally. If we don't receive it by your spirit, we don't receive it. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, for your spirit to provide ears for your truth. Amen.
Amen. I had a scripture setting that I wanted to read that kind of speaks to me a little bit about just everything that we've got going on. This is 1 Peter 1, and I'll start in verse 3, and I'm going to read from the New King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundance mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving to the ends of your faith the salvation of your souls. And that was interesting to me today and spoke to me because it really describes our time here and the great prize, you know, life everlasting. And it does a really nice job of highlighting Jesus being the Son of God, not God the Son. First Peter 1. 3 through 10.
I just read that this morning.
Well, I've actually been trying to spend a little more time in the non-Paul epistles. I mean, what James says and what Peter says and what John says, you know, those books, they're trying to provide a summation of sorts of Jesus' ministry. And so every verse is pretty packed, and you got to kind of really hit it and let it sit on it a little bit to get everything that's trying to be expressed there.
It's very encouraging. That scripture is very encouraging. Scripture that had been on my mind this morning was if the righteous scarcely be saved, then what about, you know? And I thought, I don't know if I quite qualify as the righteous, you know. There was a little bit of trepidation, so hearing that, somehow or other, the Lord looks after his children, though the righteous scarcely be saved. And you know, you can take a comfort from that. Take a comfort. Mm-hmm. The Lord looks after his.
There's a balance too. It's you know, we talk and we say it, but you know, you have to take in the entire Word of God. You just can't cherry pick. And unfortunately, if you're not careful, you'll cherry pick the wrong ones and get very discouraged. And if you're lucky, you cherry pick the right ones and everything is, you know, sunshine and rainbows. And, you know, the balance that's struck through the entire Word of God, you know, is not lost on me that, you know, if scarcely the righteous can be saved, well, you dwell on that a while and you go, this is not good. Because then you'll start to, the enemy will bring to mind all your failings and all the things that you're not doing, that you know in your heart you're not doing, and, you know, and you're in trouble. You know, it's hard to say, oh, well, I know I'm righteous. And I'll stand out. I'm willing to stand before God and say, you know, I'm righteous. I know I'm walking right. Mm. And you go, I don't know. Thought, word, and deed is hard. You know, it's hard to be that right. And so the enemy starts getting in there, and, you know, next thing you know, you're going, I'm a real believer in grace and mercy. And you need both to not get knocked off the narrow path.
No place for self-righteousness in the whole deal.
Yeah. Amen.
I heard a scripture in Acts this week, and I just thought it was kind of interesting. I never thought about it before, but it's they're gathered. It's chapter 13, verse 1 starts. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And then this stood out: as they ministered to the Lord. How do you minister to the Lord? You know? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of ways. I just never... Of course, it says, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me, Barnabas. And that's when they get called out. But... just that little, they ministered to the Lord. Like we can minister to the Lord. You know, when you think of ministering, it's not, you think about it to people, you know, but you don't think about it to the Lord. Mm. And so I want to dwell on that more in the days to come.
Who was it, Martha, that is Mary, who anointed his feet with oil and wiped with her tears
and her hair.
Yeah.
She ministered to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good example. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're going back to 1 Peter. We're going to read from chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory of Christ, will himself perfect, perform, strengthen, and establish you.
Mm, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you mean we could suffer?
Maybe not enough yet.
It doesn't get brought up a lot.
Yeah.
And we suffer for a little while. What is
the
little
one?
That's right.
It could be most of your life.
Yeah.
That depends if it's on your time or God's time.
I know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. You know, you do in geology, a little while is 1,000 years, you know, whatever.
In a little while, I will return to you.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Paul, every time Paul speaks, it's like it's going to be in the next week or two.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Don't make too many plans.
Yeah, that's right. I remember, you know, speaking from that pulpit here, back in a prior century. What if the Lord waits to come until 1993 or 1994, you know, or 1995? What if he waits that long? And I was serious.
I was talking to, I don't remember who I was talking to, but about that book that was written, 1,988 Reasons That the Lord's Return Would Be in 1988. That was a huge book. And then, somebody just reminded me of the name of who wrote it. And I remember, then it didn't happen. And then he wrote a revised. It was 1989. He had miscalculated something.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm guessing all those books are in the back room of Goodwill, but you know,
yeah.
Not even Jesus knows. So how did?
Right. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Jack
that's
Johnson. I don't remember the name, but no, you know, for all those people that were following that one minister in, I can't remember where, and they sold all their possessions, everything, and they all went and waited on that mountaintop. They gave up everything, their family, their hope, everything. And it didn't happen, and he went running into the hills. That was a big deal. And it's like, I don't know. Prophets. But soon I shall return to you, what is soon? I don't know. I never thought I'd be old enough to have children, and when I was pregnant with Angel, I was 19, and it was that January, and we were going to go to war in the war in 91. President Bush, the old one, declared war on whoever in January.
Iraq,
and, yep. And it was going to be on the 18th or something of January, and Angel was going to be due on the 22nd. And I was like, okay, well, Lord, at least I got pregnant. And I just really wanted to give birth to her to be able, I just wanted to be able to be a mom before the world ended. And I mean, everybody thought if we went to war or whatever, and 31 years ago. So we can't predict. So soon.
How far did you read? Oh, you were reading in Peter. In Thessalonians, in chapter 2, it says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Not all easy going when you preach the gospel. You know, in that week, people can say, yeah, but that was back when nobody had heard, you know, the gospel yet, or and Christ had come. And so there's a lot of people today, even in churches, that haven't heard the true gospel. You know?
Right,
so you can, all that can happen again to those that are, you know, stepping out for God. We may get to experience all of that, you know?
You know, there was a Messiah promised there by Moses in Deuteronomy, and then a number of the other prophets, too. And, you know, prior to Jesus, there were a bunch of folks that turned up that claimed to be the Messiah. You know, there's a lot of them. So much so that it became illegal to make a claim that you were the Messiah. You know, there were so many false messiahs that you it was a crime to say that you were the Messiah. And that was the crime for which Jesus was crucified, making a claim that he was the Messiah. You know, there's a lesson there. We run a risk when there are so many false claims that we say something, you know, the real thing comes along and we say, false. Yeah. You know, we can't do that. We have to, even though we've heard so many instances in which they anticipated Jesus coming and he never did, you know. Happened so often, so often. You know? Well, we must not make the error of saying, well, he's not going to come then. You know, oh, look how often people said he would and then he didn't. You know, no, he's not going to come. We must not make that error. Just as the many, many false messiahs provided no basis for claiming that Jesus was not a Messiah. In that same way, even though there have been so many false claims that Jesus is going to return, he will return. We need to be aware, alert to that.
Amen. It, we talk about it often, but as Charlie was sharing, I think the thing that scares me or gives me pause about that is not that the Messiah is coming, he is going to come, but it's having the discernment to recognize the true Messiah from all those that are going to say they are. I mean, in the world we live in today, it is so easy to pass a bit of information or a thought globally. So the devil comes along and does something that, quote unquote, looks miraculous and it sounds good, and it's gonna suck in a lot of people who aren't standing on the Word of God looking to discern, is this true? Is this really Jesus coming? Because you know, the next guy that parts the Red Sea is going to have a lot of people paying attention to that. And I use that as an example. I'm not the miracle that's going to happen, I don't know what it is. But just think about it. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a video, and it's going to be seen globally within an hour.
Sure.
And so how easy is it today, if you're not standing on the Scriptures, to see the Antichrist and see him get established? I mean, to me, the real thing is to be looking with you know, the Holy Spirit to discern what this is.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. No, our natural eyes, just because it's really something, really remarkable, that's not good enough to constitute verification of the real thing. It's not good enough. We have to know with our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears.
We don't need discernment.
Yeah.
It says that the Antichrist or whatever, the false prophets, they will have signs and wonders
right
from heaven.
See that? Signs and wonders from heaven, huh?
So it will almost be safe not to look for signs and wonders, but just to hear. Because we are familiar with his voice. We indeed are familiar with his voice. And that's what I want to be looking for. trying. I'm gonna have my ears open. You know what I mean? Because my eyes can be used by the devil. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear about some prophet giving a prophecy. I just assume it's a false prophet. Well, it's probably not right. You know? Although I'm probably right. but I need to keep open to the fact that, hey, maybe this is a real one. You know,
each one of us are.
Well, odds are it's not a good prophet, but I shouldn't do that. Yeah.
No, I know. I mean, I
we're supposed to test the prophet.
That's right. That's right.
The word of God.
Uh-huh.
And that will give us safety.
Yeah. Although, you know, that darn Satan, he can spout the scriptures.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he can spout the scriptures.
Well, we need to know them.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the people that were going on the day of Pentecost looking for them to be drunk.
Yeah.
I want to be the one who's willing to say, if this is you, let me hear and understand in my own tongue where you made me. Mm-hmm. Let me understand what this is. I don't want to be the one who's like it. But I also don't want to be the one who's running with the swine.
And you know, today the concept of testing the prophets isn't out there. It's like, well, no, you can't.
Who are you?
You just have to believe them if it's a prophet.
Yeah.
You know? No, you don't.
Oh.
You need to line it up with scripture and see if, and then wait and see if what he's saying comes true or not. You know, it's not automatic.
And a true prophet will welcome the testing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it came from God. You won't be stifled by that. You know.
There's a lot of different prophecy things that come forth, or people share, or whatever. Of like, in this day, I promise you wealth, health, constant blessings. God will meet your every need. You will live in a gold-lined street and houses of many. All these things. And as soon as I read those things, I'm like, He said, though you suffer, I will heal you through your infirmities.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean, you know, give your heart to the Lord and then just smooth sailing, you know. And you know, I shared this before, but years back when I met Pablo, you know, everything we own, a boat, a car, our trim in our house, our refrigerator, everything had some chunk of duct tape somehow for some reason. We could never own anything that was nice or normal. It was it came from someone else or whatever. And I remember when I met Pablo and I said something, and I'm like, my mom and dad have given their whole life and their service. I'm like, why do we have to have duct tape on every, you know? And why do they have to go through any stuff? Why can't my dad have the big fancy boat, you know? And he said, because it rains on the just and the unjust. Well, I heard that before, but I never thought about it like that. And it was just that simple. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Nowhere have I read the scripture that's given to the Lord. And, you know, and it is easy. I was thinking about this earlier when you were talking about suffering. And, you know, when you're talking to somebody, it is a lot easier to minister and pray and give people when you're joyful and happy and having a great day. Well, guess what? That is not faith by action. That's not joy by action. The joy by action is when I'm having a really bad day, my heart is heavy, my heart is burdened, and I'm able to give out to somebody else. That's action. Do not only just be hearers, but be doers. And so I have found in my life that many times that when I didn't feel like giving someone else joy or blessings, because in myself I didn't feel joy and blessings, but I was able to give out, that was an action. That's what faith looks like. That's what joy looks like, because it is really easy to be joyful through the great times. But that's my reasonable service. Right? It's a lot harder to do it through my pain, my burden, my heartache. It's, you know, but that's the requirement. That's the beyond reasonable service.
Yeah, Lord, yes.
In different occasions in the Bible, God did bless different people with riches. He did. But the majority or the the meat of the of that idea is, you know, in summary, you know, woe to you who laugh. You know what I mean? Woe to you when you're satisfied and happy and normal. Woe to you. I'm like, woe, why woe? No woe.
Woe not.
Right. But that is the truth. Woe to you.
You know, the Lord provided quail.
Yeah.
The Lord, that came from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But, oh, I do not want that quail from the Lord. And in the same way, we can seek riches from the Lord, mm-hmm. and maybe He'll provide them, you know? But, oh, I don't want those riches.
No.
Not those riches.
No.
Not the ones that that were given by the Lord for the same reason that the Lord gave quail.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Like when the people wanted a king, they got Saul.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
They got a king.
Yeah. Lord provided.
Yeah.
People are always praying that things go their own way when they vote. I want my guy to win. I want my guy to win. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what I want to say? Sir or man, you sound like you don't have a Jesus. Do you know your Lord? Do you know your God?
Right, amen.
He's your king.
Yeah.
He's your savior. He's the one in charge. I'm not saying don't vote. I say, don't consume yourself with this stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, you know what I mean? But God is the one in charge of your life, not the president. How ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
How ridiculous.
Yeah. Susan and I were just talking about that yesterday. Had a family member in and got lots of thoughts that I don't line up with. And finally I told Susan, I said, I am so glad that I am giving this over to God. You know, because, you know, I mean, in our country right now, it's pretty much, someone said that, said right now half the country hates the other half. You know, and maybe it's 45 and 45 and 10. There's a small, tiny remnant that's trying to walk the line and saying, I don't know. But, you know, I do know that God has a plan. And I'm putting my faith and confidence in that plan. Mm-hmm. And not what this person says or doesn't say. God has a plan, and I am willingly going to accept whatever that plan is. Which is really good, because if I unwillingly accept it, it doesn't matter. It's still God's plan, and it's still going to happen, and I'm not going to change it. So am I going to be joyful and happy about it, or am I going to be miserable and you know, cry out at God, like, why are you punishing me? And He's going, I'm not punishing you at all. It's a plan. Mm-hmm. You can choose to fight the plan, or you can choose to be with the plan.
Think of how many people in the last election, how many of those Christians that knew for sure and it was prophesied over who it would be, which now their predictions are going to have to go in that back goodwill room, that book, but they were very convinced with what they saw before the Lord, and I mean, there were people prophesying left and right, and how it would be, and Christians were all excited because there was a new Savior on earth happening. You know, and we have to vote, and I get that. But I'm wondering how many of those Christians, had it gone the other way, would it still be on their face before the Lord, or still, you know what I mean? It would have stopped. Now, maybe not all of them, but I can tell you that the ones that really, really, really needed it to go their way and then it didn't, they're still desperate before the Lord, and that's exactly where they need to be.
You know what I mean?
That might have been the plan.
Yes. So had it gone the other way, well, of course, we prayed. And no, instead, it was like God was like, nope, I guess I still want you to keep seeking me because guess who the real one in charge is? Mm-hmm. Me.
That's right, amen.
You know? So, it, you know, apparently God still needed those people to be praying because it didn't go in their favor. But God's still God, and He's still in charge, and He's still doing what He's doing regardless. And if I make God my most important, I'm under God's shelter, what can me do? What? Who cares? Because this isn't where I'm living my best life. I tell you that much. I know. There's the famous book about that. Live your best life, or whatever it's called. Or that famous preacher. This was me. And this, I'm sorry, but this isn't. This better not be my best life. It's really good, but I hope it's
not. I'm going to slide to the third one. Few days ago, we were walking on a few service. Two people are in the way on the street offering prayer. And we went and talked to them and so they could pray, you know, why not? And they were Catholic, like 100% Catholic, you know, all the way. But in the past, in the not very long ago past, I wouldn't have entertained receiving anything from a Catholic. Well, and the truth of the matter is, I'm not saying I'm there to receive their knowledge or their beliefs or what the Catholics, but I am there to listen to a heart. Okay? Because, listen, if I can make it to heaven being a non-denominational person going to sign into fellowship, so can a Catholic make it. Okay? The Catholic's got the same chances I have. Okay, I'm not better, you know, because when Jesus comes in Revelation 2, whatever, He's bowling every church out. Church number 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. And this is your problem. Here and here. And yeah, this is all right, but this is your problem. So if He came today and He stood in the middle right there and talked to us, we're going to have a problem. I don't know what it is. I wish I knew so I could fix it right now, if I could. We are going to have a problem. When Jesus comes, we are going to not be all there. And who else is not going to be all there? The Catholics, and the Lutherans, and all the denominations. So what I've learned to do is not to turn myself down, not turn myself off to other people because they don't think like me. Because am I the standard for thinking? Am I the standard for right way of doing things? No. What I believe that I believe the right thing, I wouldn't believe it if I thought I was wrong. You know what I mean? But anyways, you got to talk to the people and sweetest people on earth. And they prayed for me, a prayer that could have come out of any of us' mouth. There was no Mother Mary, no another. It was in the name of Jesus, and Jesus would claim this. And I mean, you're a Catholic, stop it. You're not praying to Mary or something. You know what I mean? And so you know, I myself have to be super careful because there's areas that I'm sure I have deception. I have this, you know what? And I think the day I take my last breath, I'm going to have deception here and there of some sort. What I'm not going to have is a heart without Jesus and hungering for Jesus and hungering for Him, for Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But I will fail. I will fail constantly. And I don't want to, but I don't know where in the scriptures this is, but I don't think, you know, I don't know. There's no one righteous, says the Bible. You know what I mean? And I'm right in the middle of that. I'm not righteous. So I'm not, like I said before, my goal is not to make more Pablos. I don't want people to be like me, to think like me. I want more people hungry for Jesus. You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm gonna say this again. If God can save me being a Silent Christian Fellowship comer, he can save a Catholic, he can save a Lutheran, he can save any of those guys. There's nothing, talk to them. If you see them, talk to them. Become like them? No. Talk to them. They might have something to say that might change your life. And they might have, and you might have something to say that might change their lives. Okay? The Bible does say, no, and from such people that are do this stuff and this and this and this, turn away. Yeah, turn away from those people. But don't turn away from people that, but don't turn away from other people.
And then,
one more thing. So, and there's another scripture that came to me soon after I talked to them. I said, Jesus says, they are not against us, they're with us.
Mm.
Now, I'm not, he doesn't say if they're not against us, they're going to go to heaven. But their ears are open. They're in a place to listen. You know, anyways, I'm talking to Pablo. I will not turn away from people that don't think like me or whatever. I'm not. I'm open. I'm open to everybody. Open to everybody because I can learn, even if it's not perfect, but I can give.
It does say specifically in the Bible at one point, though, that people who work for us that aren't going to heaven, where they say, I did all these things in
right.
your name,
right.
and I cast out devils,
yeah.
and I healed, and I did all this in your name, because I didn't know you, because that's different.
Yeah.
That's different, and it says that he's judging the secret things of the heart, not what religion you are. Or what you do. And it says there's many different ways that he uses it, but he's the judge, not us. And
right.
talking about like the house divided against itself, the country does. Half hates the other. Even the Christians hate the other people just as much. That's a scary place
yeah.
to be because
yeah.
we're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Few are chosen. And in that, it is given, I think there's lots of people who want, believe in God, know God, but they don't want to love. And love is where we're judged on. The
mm-hmm.
pure religion undefiled before the Lord is to love.
That's right.
And that is a hard place to be in when you don't
mm-hmm.
agree. But you don't have to agree to love.
No, you don't. You know what? You can't agree. Because first of all my thoughts, there's issues in my thoughts, in my beliefs, there's issues. Again, I don't know what they are. But there's no way I'm perfect. So no, I'm not looking for somebody that thinks like me. I'm just looking for somebody that wants to love the Lord.
If you look at the Good Samaritan, when he talks about it, the first person who walked past the guy on the side of the road was a priest. He should have helped him. That literally is what he's dedicated his life to do. What the heck? Why? And then the next person was the Levite. He should have helped him. The last person is the only one who he didn't label as anything. Just a good Samaritan. Just a dude. And just the dude is the one that helped. He's not labeled as any religion or as anything or any position. Just that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Who is willing to love and take care of and say whatever you, anything else you need, take it from what I got and I'll pay you the rest when I come back. Just take care of them. He didn't ask, how did you get here? And were you doing the right things? And what put you into this position to be here? And that was never asked. Just, I got you.
You know, there's scripture that says, though, that promises that we will be of one mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah, not in mind with your mind, flesh mind.
Right.
You know, none of us will do that. But you can have one mind in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you're saying is it's right and it's good, but at the same time, the words that, you know, like I was just reading in Thessalonians, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person who do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's times when you do have to make a decision.
What do you do to a brother? That scripture actually came to my mind while we were sitting here, was something that I was thinking of, because accounting somebody as a brother, if your brother is doing something, you're still praying, or, you know, or
yeah.
If your brother needed something, you
right.
help them. I'm not going to do your party, but...
And then before that, that's in 14 and 15, in 6, Thessalonians 3, 6, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us, which would be the gospel, I'm thinking, you know. So there's going to be lines, because there's truth and there's untruth.
Yeah.
And you've got to be of the truth, which is also in Thessalonians, you know, the one that we talk about all the time about, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. But now, when you're talking with those Catholic people, that doesn't, you can't assume that they're in there until you know their hearts.
Amen.
You know?
Exactly.
Until you know their hearts. And then, if they don't see that, you may present it, and then glory if they receive it, because it's from the Lord, not you. You know, and at the same time, we should always be open to someone bringing something to us, you know. But you got to have it, it's always got to be line up with Scripture, you know.
I don't think, you know, like unity, even here, unity of our own understanding will never happen.
No, never.
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 So it has to be a spirit unity.
Right.
That is, because you can't, when those two people, we were at the farmer's market, and you walk into the farmer's market in Chupa, there was, you know, an older couple asked me about Jesus, and she's in a scooter, and, you know, he was having face pain Thursday and not comfortable, but he got out anyways. He was going to stay in the car, because I was just grabbing zucchini, and as I'm stepping in, you have to pass them, and the guy's like, hello, folks, would you like a rosary? You know, and we were like, no, thank you. We started walking. And they have a big sign that says, need prayer, need, you know, whatever. And so we just kind of looked at the sign. As we walked past, the man says, do you need prayer for anything? And Papa just stopped. He goes, you know, I do. And he started to talk to him for a second. And so they talked to us and whatever. And so now I know they're Catholic and whatever. I've been to Catholic weddings. I've been to Catholic funerals. I've heard Catholics pray. I know the little books that they go by. I know that Saint, you know, Jude does this, and St. Nicholas or Peter or whatever does all that. Okay, whatever. So I knew. She said, would you like us to pray with you here in the spot? Or just take our thing back? And he's like, no, here's good. She's like, okay. Can we lay hands on you, or would you rather us just sit here and pray? And he says, no, you know what? He goes, do whatever you're going to do to pray for me. So she stepped up out of her little mobile scooter thing and leaned over, and Pablo just stood there. And her prayer was no different than anybody that I've ever heard pray in Community Chapel, Dying Christian Fellowship, the Elite Club, ever. And you know what happened was, Pablo stood with this innocent, like, he just wanted prayer. He didn't care if it was, you know, Jasper or, you know, some famous TV preacher. He just wanted prayer. So he just stood there with an open me. I stood there wanting, I listened, and I just wanted him prayer, you know, him to have prayer. But I was waiting the entire time for the something I was going to disagree with. So I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And I'm waiting for her next sentence, because it was a long prayer, for me to think, she does not know what I know. Or think, and all I could do was, yeah, think. And she said, and we claim that healing in Jesus' name over Pablo's body and his right side. I mean, and so when we got done, that whole prayer was for me to be like kick in my pants. Because a year ago, would you like prayer? I would be like, oh, no. Thank you. We pray and we have a church group and we're praying a lot, but thank you. And keep going. And instead, I humbled myself. And that woman's prayer was not any different than yours, his or mine. And when we got done, I just stood, I mean, I was flabbergasted the whole rest of the day. I said, oh, my goodness. And she said, and Pablo, we will continue praying for you. And, you know, and she had, I said, he gets this trigeminal neuralgia. And it's not very, you know, like popular. Mom. And she says, oh, I know that. She lived for years with that. It was hereditary. And I said, what did you do for it? Did you get that surgery where they severed the nerve? She goes, no. And she goes, one day it just left.
Mm.
So she really wanted to pray. Anyways, it was afterwards I thought, thank you, Lord. Her prayer was fantastic, and not once did she mention anything that I was like, that does not sound like a scripture. It was a great lesson. So I told Papa, I'm like, we need to take prayers, anybody offering prayers, take it, because the unity, we were united in the spirit.
We were.
It didn't matter. Her and I had complete different thoughts about worshiping Mary and all the different things. It didn't matter. And when they were done, the gentleman did this. It didn't matter. In unity in that prayer, so our general understanding didn't match, but the spirit matched.
So who knows what she understood? Just because she's
Catholic
church,
right.
Does not mean anything that
right.
you can claim. I could claim to be a stuffed animal right now. Doesn't mean I am.
Right.
When Jesus is right. unjudged. So in reality, those are two people standing outside, willing to preach Jesus in whatever context. Where does it say that? Nevertheless, Jesus is preached in that glory or whatever. So in whatever mode it is, what that woman is doing, she's not walking through Walmart secretly like, I know Jesus and I hope all these people know. But she's out going, I want to find Jesus and I'm hungry. Just because I'm currently chewing on a rock doesn't mean that she's not getting bread, her manna. You know what I mean? That God's not giving her something just that she'll reveal whatever it is that her heart's position.
Yeah, she was out there.
Maybe her heart's position is still just right. And when she's just, she's a child of the, you know, she believes in Jesus just because and all this other stuff. I mean, Susan thought that she had to repent one day a year, right? Wasn't that your Easter was your day that you
oh, yeah,
all
that
your
was
it.
I was good to go.
Right.
You know, we have to keep in mind both what Ken was saying there in Thessalonians. Hey, it's there. And so if you are in error, we have no business blowing it off. On the other hand, to be able to receive prayer from someone that we would know to be in doctrinal error of a very fundamental sort, we have to bear that too. We need to keep both of those things. And how do you do that? That makes, I mean, they're just diametrically opposed. But that's the Lord we serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It is crazy that's the way it is, but that is the way it is. I had a boss that was a Catholic, and after I got saved, I did a lot of spouting at work, you know. And he found it appealing, what I had to say. And he sought out and Catholic Charismatics and got filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. He told me, yeah, it's not a kind of you. I just found it so good, so right, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, he invited me to Catholic Charismatic Prayer Group that they have in Eau Claire. And I guess I was not about to say, well, no, you know, I was not about to do that. Jude and I went for several months. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was just really sweet there. It just was really sweet. It was sweet. I wasn't tempted to become a Catholic, but the Spirit of the Lord was just sweet. And I realized then, yeah, the path I have is the right path, but oh, I better be a little bit careful about other people's paths. We hope we'll all end up at the same place, but I have to be careful. I got to be careful about being too certain about other people's paths. Now, you know, by that, you know, and so what are you supposed to do? Take a marker, black marker, and mark out those scriptures there in Thessalonians that Ken just read from? No, we can't do that. It just takes the Lord's sorting out, though. It takes the Lord's sorting out.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just going to say. Like, we didn't know all this before, so we weren't any different, you know. You have to remember that, yeah, the only way that any of that's going to happen is that the Lord gives it. So, yes, you don't want to automatically just turn people away because God may use you to bring them farther to where he wants them. You know, like all of us needed more truth, obviously. We didn't have it. And so, but it's like, if the hearts are right, then, yeah, they'll receive it if God wants them to receive it. You know, so you got to be, always stay open to that. But if you run into people that are stubborn and stiff-necked, well,
right,
then it's different, you know.
Right.
And you can usually tell that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, you don't want to write off the ones that are willing, have a willing heart for the Lord, you know. And they just don't, and they're not necessarily, I have to keep reminding myself of this. A lot of people, if they don't have truth now, they're not necessarily accountable at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get it brought to them, then they're accountable.
Yes.
You
yeah,
know.
Right, right.
So, yeah. And that, you know, that's a hazy road, you know.
That
scripture
makes it a little easy because you don't have to. Grandpa's got a brother, you, that have very differing beliefs. And when they see each other, they're not shooting each other like enemies and fighting for the most part. But, I mean, but they still, when you see your brother who you disagree with, you love them. You still love is your core, their core. Whether you agree or don't or whatever, you can still interact with somebody who you completely disagree with without jumping in their boat and doing what they're doing and whatever, counting them as a brother and loving them and praying for their salvation and wherever they're at, but interacting with them as a brother and not as an enemy, and that is love. And love does that, which makes it a lot easier to say, hey, I love you because you are a creation, and whatever that is, like you're a creation, I can't judge that, so I'm going to count you as my brother. So when I see you, I'm not thinking, oh, there's that person I disagree with, but oof, there's my brother, and I really hope that the Lord reveals something in there. And that simple switch changes your heart's position from, I agree with you and I jump on boats, I disagree with you and I'm going to be away from you, to just, hey, I love you where you're at. And whatever that is, and I know my thing, and you got your thing.
Amen.
So there's that core love.
I would expect some very definite prompting and a powerful anointing to be correcting Catholics in their belief. You know, I think we can expect that.
Yeah.
And until that happens, we're at different places in our walks.
You know, you can be you can have a relationship with the Lord and still be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Which
we lived in for a few days.
We tasted of that.
Yeah.
You know, the angel of light, he's good.
He's good.
You know, and so you got to be open to that. That. Yeah, you can love the Lord and still be deceived, you know.
And doing the very wrong things for the very right reasons.
Yeah.
And Grandpa and I have talked a million times over that, and for the right reasons, you preached the wrong things, because that's where we were at. That's what was going on. But in his time, that's revealed. And this love, look at all of it. We are all crazy different. Mm-hmm. Our daily lives and put them side by side. None of us should talk to each other, for the most part. You know? But in that core love, hunger, seeking the Lord, I love you and would call you if I had an emergency just as much as anyone else. And that is fantastic. That's fantastic. My life and your life are very different.
Yeah.
But if I needed something, I know that you're there. And glory in that. And I love all of you so much.
Well, that's I do pray for love a lot, because I know I'm lacking. You know, and I know how, and I've tasted of God's genuine love,
mm-hmm.
way back when, and it was glorious. I mean, I couldn't look at anyone and have aught, and I looked at some that I never would have had anything to do with, and I loved them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just looked at them, I love that person, they're a good person, you know, but that came from God, you know, and I can't manufacture it. But so I keep asking for that to come again, even greater.
You know,
he did it once. The next time he does it, it'll be even better. You know.
Remember, Ephesians says, "Bringing the truth in love," or however that goes.
Yeah.
You know, both of those things are, you know, truth, but in love, but in love.
I didn't think of Ephesians. I thought of 1 Corinthians 13. You know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child and understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide in faith, hope, and love. And we've been bouncing up against love for months, maybe years. I mean, the greatest of these is love. Okay? So, it doesn't say the greatest of these is your spiritual understanding or your doctrinal revelation. It says the greatest of these is love. And we have to approach everything in love to allow for God to do what he's going to do. I read somewhere once that they say there's like 35,000 different doctrinal religions or beliefs in the world. And in a pure, natural mind way of thinking, so what's the odds that you're following the right one? You know, one in 35,000. But the greater revelation is, well, what's the odds that there even is a one that's perfectly aligned with God? Chances are not so good, because it's an unfolding revelation and we don't have it yet. But we will, and we will be brought in. And I'm sitting here listening, and you know, we're required, because we have the revelation of knowing truth. And when someone is bringing not truth, you have to decide how you react to that. Because someone could have not truth, but could have a good heart for God, and in the spirit, something good could be happening. Even though in the natural, they're not right on top of the word. Because their revelation or the spirit hasn't got to them yet. I mean, there were probably hundreds and thousands of people who thought the Chapelites were just out there, and they were. They had good teaching, lots of good things, but they were out there. Didn't make us bad people. It just made us people who needed more revelation from God. And God has been faithful to us. He has provided more revelation. And we're focused on different things now a little bit, which helps that. I mean, not so much an emphasis on music and more an emphasis on the Word. Not so much an emphasis on church organization, but more an emphasis on truth. And because we've realized truth and the Word and the Spirit and revelation, those are really the things. Now, you hear me say it all the time, and I'll get down off my box here quickly, but if we truly are going to hold that we are on a path of an unfolding revelation, then be open to the fact that the revelation isn't done yet. There is more for God to show us.
Amen.
Well, show me. You may have all arrived. I'm trying to catch up. But I should say, speaking from my point of view.
Hmm.
Now, all of this being said, either way, we obviously, and this is redundant, but we need to stay with God's Word. Okay, that I'm not saying, I don't think nobody thinks it, but I'm not saying God's Word is not important, that you don't know the right stuff, whatever it is. We have to be taught by God. We have to stay with God's Word and God's Word only. You know, don't see a Catholic and want to become like them or whatever. You know, don't look at anybody, not even somebody that goes to our own church and want to become like them. You know what I mean? But when we see somebody else that doesn't agree with us, I do want to have an open heart to fellowship. And God opens the door, we'll talk, and they will give me something, and I will give them something, and we will both be closer to God. That I think that that's the idea. Again, if I would have to wait, if I was only going to talk to people that line up with my understanding, I would have a group of two people to talk to. That's it. You know what I mean? My circle wouldn't grow. What about Jesus? Can you imagine Jesus waiting? He's only going to talk to the ones that have the perfect understanding and the perfect everything to talk to. He's only going to talk to the ones that agree with him and line up with his understanding. He would talk to no one. But he talked to the prostitutes. That's definitely not the, you know. He talked to
Sinners.
Sinners.
Which we all are.
Which we all are.
Yeah, so kind of cut us all with that one. I'll only talk to sinners. Well, that's a pretty big deal.
So there's one to see that he didn't turn away from the sinners.
No.
He didn't turn away from them. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You talk to them, and now you don't spend the rest